And zero IQ.
And zero IQ, K0 4K, good copy.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Chuck. I was just checking. Just set my rig back up after a week out of town, so thank you. And zero IQ.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck, K0 4K, and welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. The net operates on and through the Minnesota-Wisconsin room number 21493. This is an open technical net, and please check in through net control. Tonight's net control stations are November 0 Papa X-Ray Tango, Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta Otis, November 0 Yankee Quebec Steve, Kilo 9 Echo Quebec Chris, 80 MI Pete, and K0 4K Chuck. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, who is the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and is a founding sponsor of the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us to use his name because he's a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at www.w0mdt.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Moundsview, Minnesota. Please remember there is a chat window available. Go to hamoperator.com, select MinWiz, and then MinWiz Chat. Net control will only be taking check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city, and state. We'll acknowledge your call and put it on the list in the order received. If you cannot get in, try emailing us at hamoperator.com, or remember, a chat window is available also at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. All right, I have one announcement for the net. The one you hear me make every week, Hams in the Park, Long Lake Regional Park, starts at noon. I bet that would help. Second Saturday in July. And I bet you, make a mistake, it's 10. The 10th of July, how about that? It was the 10th of July last week, too, but I didn't say anything about it. So, Hams in the Park, July 10th, Long Lake Regional Park, if not, set something up for yourself, and you can always look for Hams in the Park on Facebook. There are some pretty good pictures of all the different stuff that have been put up here. Is there anybody else with an announcement for the net? All right, hearing no further announcements, we'll move into the check-in portion of the net. Remember, we are only taking check-ins from stations with traffic. So if you've got something to talk about, discuss, comments or questions, go ahead now. Give us your name, city, and state.
Whiskey 1, Delta United Delta, Paul, Lynn, Massachusetts, with a question and a comment.
If you've got a comment or a question for us, check in now. Give us your name, city, and state.
Whiskey 1, Delta United Delta, Paul, Lynn, Massachusetts, with a question and a comment.
All right, I got you in there, Paul. Whiskey 1, Delta Union Delta. Question and a comment. So, go ahead. What do you got for us tonight?
K0IK, W1DUD. Good evening, Chuck, and everybody in the net. I pulled the trigger and I bought an FTM-300. The comment is, I was a little bit nervous because the radio said made in China, but it looks like the fit and finish is pretty good. It's very comparable to the FT-3DR as far as menu and everything, and I'm really enjoying the radio. What's really nice about the radio is the fact that I ran the radio for over an hour in a net. I went down to my shack, and the thing wasn't even warm, so the cooling system obviously works fantastic. Let me just drop real quick, and then I'll give you my question. My question is, I hooked it up to the computer, the laptop that had my FT3DR, and I plugged in the SCU40 cables. The software for YSX recognized the radio, but the room numbers were still the same as the FT3DR node number 2, as opposed to the new numbers. Room and node numbers. I tried to change them in the drop down on file and transceivers, but it doesn't allow me to do so. Do I have to delete the YSX software and reload it to put those node and room numbers in? Back to you, Chuck.
All right. I have not got an answer for you there. Glad you're liking the radio. I appreciate mine, but Otis, Whiskey 4, India, Oscar Delta, why don't you go ahead and see if you can straighten us out on this one.
Okay, 0RKW4LD. Well, let's see if we can help Paul out on that. Yeah, it will operate, and Chris has actually mentioned this as well. To actually change that, you have to go in there under settings. I think it's wires ID information. And there's a menu button over to the right-hand side. I believe it's user ID change, and it'll bring up the window and ask you to confirm that. So that's how that's done. I have the same issue, depending on which radio I'm running in the portable HRI setup, whether it be the 100, the 400, or the FT3. So it's one of those things where it's not that big of a deal. It'll operate either way. But if you want it to be, I guess Paul is asking how he gets it corrected, that would be the way to do it. So it's settings, WiresX information, ID information, I believe. And then you'll follow it to the right where I think it's got the serial number and the call sign and the user ID and what have you over there on the right-hand side. It'll say user ID change. And just click on that, and a window will pop up, and you've got to confirm it. So hopefully that helps you out. W4IOD, back to net control.
All right, thanks a lot, Otis. And Paul, did that make sense? Were you keying through your WiresX stuff as we talked?
I'll have to remember it. I think I can remember that. I'm sitting outside with a cigar. Cigars are verboten in the house now, so I've been banished to the outside. It's a little bit chilly in the wintertime doing it, but oh well. Sounds pretty simple and straightforward. And again, I'm very happy with the radio. I'm glad I picked that one. It saved me some money as opposed to the 400, but who knows? Maybe I'll buy a 400 someday. Thanks for your help, Otis. Thank you, Chuck. Always a great net. 73 to all. I'm going to be sitting back and listening. W1DUD, back to net control. Net control.
All right. Good, Paul. Glad we were able to help you out on that one. And, you know, that's what we're here for, is to try and answer questions like that. So if anybody else out there has a question on the radios, or how we're doing it, or whatever, questions or comments. Name, city, state, let us know. Go ahead now. All right, good, Paul. Glad we were able to help you out on that one. And, you know, that's what we're here for, is to try and answer questions like that. So if anybody else out there has a question on the radios, or how we're doing it, or whatever, questions or comments. Name, city, state, let us know. Go ahead now. All right. Sounds like somebody has us hooked up in a loop somewhere. So you're going to hear us twice. Acknowledging Kilo Kilo 2, India Charlie Union, Bob. Got no audio. If you were trying to call in, why don't you go ahead now?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chuck. It must have leaned up against my leg. Kilo Kilo 2, India Charlie Uniform, Bob, Georgetown, Kentucky.
Well, we know stuff happens, we're hams. We can, if it's not happening fast enough, we can make it happen. Bob, have a great evening, and good hearing your voice this evening. Looking for more check-ins to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. If you've got a comment or a question, check in now. Give us your name, city, and state.
Hey, 4UOJ, my name's William, and I'm from Lucas, Kentucky.
All right, Kilo 4 Union Oscar Juliet. William, go ahead. What do you have for us tonight?
I've actually talked to W4IOD a little bit about this through Facebook Messenger a few days back. We are trying to find the easiest way to set up a reflector for our club repeater. We've already got an SRI 200 set up for the fusion room and everything like that, and it's working well. We found instructions for a Raspberry Pi reflector setup, and we went through the entire programming process. We've got a node ID and everything like that. Our biggest question is, how do we get that node connected to our fusion room that we're currently using now? That's the question we have. Odie suggested doing it through a duplex hotspot with the repeater frequencies, of course, but we were seeing to go that route, that you would be able to do it just with the Raspberry Pi, and that's the question that I have.
All right. Well, I think our winner on this one is K9EQ. Chris, hopefully this one's up your alley. Go ahead.
Okay, a couple points of clarification first. So, William, you are talking about a YSF reflector, is that correct? Oh, William, did we lose you?
Yeah, it's the YRZF YSF reflector. Yes, the YSF reflector is what we're trying to set up.
Okay. Yeah, the typical way to do that is you don't need a, nor do you probably want a full duplex modem. You know, just a normal simplex one is fine. And yeah, you can, you know, some people do that with a simplex node and put the hotspot on the same frequency as a WireSec simplex node. You can do it with a repeater. There are some little tricks to making that work. There's some options that you have to select that aren't quite obvious necessarily to make that work. But that's typically how it's done. That's how the MinWiz is doing theirs, and the other group out here, the Southern California Ham or LA Repeater, they do it that way as well. So that's a pretty standard way to do it. It turns out it's most likely easier to go via RF because it's the one interface that is guaranteed to be what you know what it is. So that's why the RF is pretty convenient if you tried to do something via software, which would be nice, I have to admit. Now you have to worry about the internal protocols of WireSec and things like that that may change without notice. So the RF path is the one that's guaranteed to work. So hopefully that answers the question. Does that answer your questions, William?
Yeah, I believe so. You kind of reiterated what W4IOD pretty much told us. We were just under the impression that there was a way to link it without the without having the hotspot or the simplex or duplex hotspot. But it looks like that's the way we're going to have to go. Because, like I said, we followed, I can't even remember the website we went to, but we were able to get it all set up and it's recognized and everything like that. It was just the linking process that we were having issues with. So I guess our next step would be to actually purchase a some kind of hotspot to use the RF values of it. So, yeah, we'll definitely do that then, and we'll go that route. I appreciate the help, K4UOJ.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much the way everybody does it. I mean, if you didn't do it that way, you would have to intercept the you know, the UDP traffic on the internet, the Wires X. I mean, you could do that, and then you wouldn't need the Raspberry Pi. You'd just do it on the PC. You know, why have another computer and complicate things? So you just run a little program on the PC to basically tap into the internet traffic and reformat it and, you know, massage it and send it off to a YSF reflector and vice versa. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, and the, you know, if you're comfortable with Linux and stuff, all you need is a Raspberry Pi, and I've had good luck with just ordering the Chinese modem boards, like off of Amazon or places like that. They seem to work fine, and, you know, eventually you might want to more than one hotspot, and the price can add up if you pay the commercial retail prices. But yeah, they work pretty reliably. You know, they'll run for quite a long time. I mean, what I was referring to is you need different settings to bridge from Wires X to a hotspot reflector than you do to just connect to a Wires X, a YSF reflector, and use your HT to talk on that reflector. There are differences in the settings between those two scenarios, and they're not compatible with each other. So if you have it set for the bridging, your HT won't work to talk to the hotspot, and then if you have it set for the HT, then the Wires X thing won't work. So just a FYI there. Over to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
Thank you, Chris and William. Really good question. I know lots of people are doing that. All right, throw it out again. Looking for more people with comments or questions for the net. If you've got them, we'll try and answer them. Name, city, and state, go ahead now. All right, I'll try again. If you've got a comment or a question for the net, we try to talk about all things fusion. All right, name, city, state, and we'll try and answer those questions. Go ahead.
K9EQ,
Chris, go ahead. What do you got for us tonight?
Oh, Pete down under there. I don't want to jump in, but just a note came across the console here. As you may or may not be aware, Microsoft is distributing a kind of a pre-release, go ahead and play around with it, version of Windows 11. Yes, well, it turns out they never did say Windows 10 was going to be the last Windows operating system. You can't believe everything you read on the internet. And so Pete reports that he has Wires X running on Windows 11. So I guess there's hope for the future. I mean, essentially Windows 11 is very much like Windows 10. You know, there's probably some improvements under the hood, but basically it's, you know, they just put a little bit of spit and polish on it, and that's about the only difference. So one would expect that to be the case. Personally, I like running Windows 7 because I don't get the number one reason I like running Windows 7. I'm sure 10 works just fine. No updates. But when the updates expired on 7, that was actually an advantage.
That thing runs solidly now without any of the updates, and I've been doing that for a year and a half now with no updates and no security problems so far. Anyway, back to you, Chuck. I just thought that was a worthy update. WireSax running on Windows 11, K9EQ.
All right, Chris. They're not going to kill that cash cow. They're going to keep putting out new ones until people stop buying it. With that, looking for anybody else who's got comments or questions about Yaesu Fusion and how to make them work. If you've got a question or a comment, now's your chance. Name, city, and state. Go ahead. All right, I'll make this last call for Lynette then. Pretty quiet night. I don't know, it's gorgeous here in Minnesota, so I'm sure that's where people are. Yeah, maybe it's nice in other places. If you have a comment or a question for the net, give us your name, city, and state. Last call for the net. Go ahead now.
Kilo Charlie 3, Foxtrot, Bravo Mike, Frank from Parkville, Maryland. I have a question.
All right, Kilo Charlie 3, Fox Bravo Mike. Frank, Parkville, Maryland, go ahead with your question. All right, try that again. Kilo Charlie 3, Fox Bravo Mike. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, this is Frank from Parkville, Maryland. There's a... When I start my WireSax software, there's a compass that comes up on the right-hand corner of my screen. It's only there for about 10 seconds, and then it disappears. I'd like to know if I can get that back on my computer, or it's just there, and when I did the upgrade on the WireSax software, it took it off. This is KC3FBM, back to net.
All right, Chris, our WireSax software expert, K9EQ, why don't you go ahead?
All right, that's an easy one.
Well, first of all, you got to make sure you got the right GPS coordinates set into the software. Otherwise, the bearing and distance information will be absolutely bogus. But assuming you have that correct, the answer is, like, embarrassingly simple. But it's not the instructions. And that is, you need to make the window bigger. So you can slide the divider in the middle back and forth to make that window bigger, or you can just take the right edge of the WireSax software and drag that along until there's enough size for the compass to fit. And when there's enough size for the compass to fit, voila, it will appear. So I think what happens is when you're starting the software, and it's the software, it's a Windows program. It's running around creating all the visual elements and creating all the GUI handles. That compass pops up for a little bit and disappears. So they probably create it and then realize that, they check the size of the window. And go, it's not big enough for the window, so we'll get rid of it. So they probably just need to make the window a little bit bigger, and that will show up. So I hope that helps. Back to you, Chuck, K9EQ.
All right, Chris, thank you very much. And, Frank, did that answer your question? Were you able to find it there?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Chuck. I was just wondering, like you said, if the screen's just a little bit too small, that some of the items don't show up. But next time, what I'll try to do, I'll make my screen a little bit bigger on the right. Maybe it will stay on there. Because when I did have this maybe last year, it stayed on there all the time. Then I did an update on it, and I think the software might have changed it. I don't know. But thank you for the information. I'll try it out next time. And everybody have a nice weekend. So thank you. This is KC3FBM, back to net.
All All right. Well, thanks for the good question. And, well, we got one more, so I'm going to make this the last call. I already said that once, but we got somebody back, so. Last call for the net. Name, city, state. If you got a comment or question, go ahead now. All right, nothing heard. Well, remember, we'll be back here next Monday, and you can try us then. We meet here every Monday night, 7:30 p.m. Central Time, and talk about all things fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This is Chuck, K0HK, and everyone have a great night.
K9EQ, W4IOD.
Hi there, Otis. K9EQ.
Yeah, I thought I'd give you a call. I actually gave you one yesterday afternoon, but I guess you were busy over in the LA repeater room, so it's one of those things where I guess we were missing each other. Seeing I missed a call from you Friday, but appreciate your assistance and your authority in straightening some of the questions out, and it's always good to hear you, my friend.